Mr. Eaton or Ms. Eaton?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Tim Eaton, and I represent Governor Quinn in this matter. Your Honors, in preparing for this argument, the old adage, bad facts make bad law, came to mind. Hopefully the new governor will address the bad facts, and I'm here to address the law.
But could I ask you just at least what I hope is a hypothetical question, but nonetheless it seems to me the logical conclusion of your position. Suppose the day Governor Quinn had been sworn in, he had said, I don't believe in executive clemency at all. I think our criminal justice system works very well, and it winds up giving the correct penalties to offenders, and it's really actually disruptive for people to think that they're going to get off the hook by petitioning the governor. And so I'm pre-announcing right now that I am never going to grant a petition for executive clemency of any kind. Is there anything that anyone could do about that in the courts, or is the logic of your position the fact that there is no judicial remedy for such a statement?
Your Honor, my position would be there would be no federal remedy. There perhaps could be a state remedy, although the Illinois Supreme Court, when Governor Ryan gave an
opposite direction commutation,
yeah. Yes, said his discretion is unfettered. And so presumably the governor would be able to do that. But I think the problem with the federal right, and I think the district court's emphasis was on the wrong place, and that is what is the substantive interest that's at stake here, and that is the right of clemency, as opposed to parole or parole revocation, which would even be more serious because that would involve continued incarceration. And secondly, what is the life interest or the liberty interest at stake here? None of the petitioners or none of the plaintiffs are incarcerated. No one's on death row. And when the U.S. Supreme Court dealt with its last clemency case in Ohio Adult Parole Authority versus Woodard, four members of the court didn't think there could ever be a due process or liberty interest in clemency because it's a matter of grace. There were four that concurred in the ultimate result, thinking that that would be possible, but in that case it dealt with a death row inmate, and I think Justice O'Connor was troubled by the fact that because there was a life interest, as she saw it, that they should look at due process clause, although in that case they didn't find any violation. And the Ninth Justice, Justice Stevens, thought that definitely there should be an interest. I would submit in a situation where you do not have either life or liberty interest involved here, and you look at the substantive interest, which is clemency, that you shouldn't then create some sort of due process protection in the process that leads to a substantive interest that is totally discretionary.
Is the only thing they would get by clemency a reputation boost, or would they get a right to vote or carry guns or something?
Your Honor, the plaintiffs have said in their briefs that they are forced to put down on job applications if they're a convicted felon. There may be still some reporting requirements, for example, if they were on parole. They didn't detail anything further, but I believe those are the type of rights.
Oh, sorry, reputation kind of thing.
Exactly. Right. And I think the Sandin Court.
But it's very concrete reputation. They say that they've been denied jobs because, as someone who has to say they were a convicted felon, they're ineligible for various types of jobs. And I understood them to be saying that if they got the expungement that they're looking for, they would no longer have to write that down, and thus they could get the jobs.
That is their position, Your Honor, but I believe if they were pardoned, it isn't necessarily saying that they're not guilty or that they're innocent.
Right.
It's that the governor has decided, based on a number of factors, that they may be entitled to a pardon.
Well, an employer could still ask whether you'd ever been convicted, right?
Exactly, and then they could respond, yes, but I was pardoned, and I'm not sure that that's the type of deprivation that the Sandin Court was looking at. The district court relied largely on Hewitt, which was mandatory language and substantive predicates, but I believe when you're talking about due process, you have to look first what's the deprivation and then decide what process is due.
Is this something like a pocket veto?
By not acting, in effect, is an action. Your Honor, I would say no, because sometimes these decisions take longer, and it's not an affirmative act denying. It's just that there is a backlog, and it takes time. Maybe the effect, I suppose, in the long run, if they never act, that could raise that. If I could save my remaining sessions
sure.
for
okay,
rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Eaton. Mr. Jackson?
Morning, Your Honors. Plaintiffs in this case are ex-offenders who paid their debts long ago to society. Since then, they've stayed out of trouble and sought to lead productive, crime-free lives. Their records reflect convictions, so most of them decades old when they were teenagers or young adults, that prevent them from getting the jobs they need, and that's the harm that's at issue in this case.
So let me ask you this, though, Mr. Jackson. I mean, I think Mr. Eaton makes a powerful argument when he says there's no interest in process all by itself. Are you able to identify any substantive criteria in either the Illinois statute or the Illinois Constitution that could guide a governor that a court could possibly enforce?
Judge, I think the label substantive and procedural does not make sense on the facts of this case. What the plaintiffs are saying is they get a decision, and we have a governor. The governor says he doesn't have to decide. That's the current governor's.
Sure. No, I understand that. But here's the problem that's been bothering me in light of current news. Suppose instead of the governor of Illinois, we had the same legal structure, but we were talking about California. There's Governor Schwarzenegger out there trying to deal with a $42 billion deficit, about to lay off some untold number, 20,000 state workers and all of that. He appears to have been working day and night with the California legislature. And I find it incredible to think that a federal court could knock on the door of his office metaphorically and say, sorry, Governor Schwarzenegger, you've got to take a little time off and rule on some executive clemency petitions. I don't know how a federal court can tell a governor how to allocate his time like that.
I think the answer is the Illinois legislature has already answered that question. The Illinois legislature has already said the governor shall decide these things.
It didn't say when.
It did not say when, but it also didn't say, to use Judge Kane's comment, give the governor a pocket veto to never do his job.
But let me ask you this. I didn't see this from the statute. Presumably there was portfolio full of these applications pending before Governor Blagojevich. Governor Blagojevich leaves office. Now we have Governor Quinn. Do they just roll over to the next governor and the next governor, or do you have to reapply whenever there's a new governor?
My understanding is they roll over.
Okay.
How many applicants are there?
Our clients are 12. I understand there are something like 2,000 plus out there.
2,000 plus. Now, if we set some sort of deadline, then every felon in Illinois would apply, right?
Well, that's the argument.
And then they'd all be granted.
That's right? The argument the governor makes. But there's really
What's wrong with that argument?
How many
felons are there in Illinois?
That one, Judge, I don't know. But what I would say is this: the governor doesn't do this on a blank slate. The PRB. Considers these
But suppose there are 100,000 felons in Illinois, and they all learn that now the federal court has set down a rule that the governor has to decide these within 6 months, or else they're deemed granted. Then they all apply. Since that would completely overwhelm the governor's office, and then they'd all get their pardons automatically.
Yes, Judge, I don't agree with your example. I think the PRB would screen those things and would do the same thing it's doing now.
How do you screen 100,000 applications? Where do you get the staff for that?
I don't know that the 100,000 number would be the right number. There was an increase in applications after.
I bet that is the right number because you're looking at the whole prison population of Illinois over the last, say, 40 years.
Your Honor,
would we be better off if instead of, as Judge Posner's hypothetical had it, a federal court were to say after 6 months the application is deemed denied? I mean, your clients would be in about the same position they're in right now.
They would be, Your Honor, but they would be deprived of their right under Illinois law for somebody to make the call, which is what the governor didn't do.
What I find troubles, this is slightly related to Judge Wood's question about Governor Schwarzenegger, but a little different. The clemency power, the pardon power, that's the sort of quintessential executive prerogative power. And for a federal court to be telling a governor how to exercise that power, that seems a really big intrusion. The Supreme Court would never do that with the president.
Well, the Illinois legislature has already told the governor what he needs to do. All we're asking is the federal court to enforce what the Illinois legislature has already told the governor to do, Your Honor.
Told him, told him to consider?
Told him to decide these petitions. And what all we know in this case, on the record, is that nothing has happened.
Well, how is it different from the pardon clause in the Constitution? Is there some difference?
No, it's different in a way. The Illinois legislature has, in a way consistent with the Illinois Constitution, issued a statutory directive that the governor shall decide these. It's the policy of the state of Illinois. That's the reason why the PRB has been constituted in the first place. So the pardon clause in the Constitution may deal with pardons in the abstract. Here, the Illinois legislature has spoken, and it's the policy of the state of Illinois for these ex-offenders to have their claims at least heard, and then the governor should decide as he deems appropriate. We'd ask that you affirm and send the case back for further proceedings.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Jackson. Mr. Eaton, you have no more. Do you have a minute? We can have a minute if you have something further you'd like to say.
Your Honor, I would just like to address two quick points. One that Judge Wood raised. The difficulty, if the district court were in the business of deciding what is a reasonable time, is that there are no substantive predicates to decide that issue. There's no guidance by the statute itself as to what would be a reasonable time. So it would be just trying to decide whole cloth whether it is or isn't reasonable. In fact, the Prison Review Board has no time limits in which they must decide. So the very statute that created the process didn't even impose a time limitation on them. And, Your Honor, to answer your last question, and I know I'm going outside the record, but I know recently at the end of President Bush's term, there was many articles on clemency petitions and pardon petitions, and they said many of them had been pending since the mid-1990s, and largely it was a political decision whether or not it made sense to grant it at this particular point. So I think it's totally discretionary, and the governor may just decide for whatever reason the time is arrived.
Do you think the legislature could have set a date to do something by? Best if decided by?
Your Honor, without encroaching upon the governor's complete discretion, I think that would be difficult because the Illinois Constitution says they only have the power to enact the process of applying for the clemency petition, not affecting the actual decision itself.
The power of pardon is in the Illinois Constitution?
Yes, sir.
Like the U.S.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to both counsel. Next case for argument, United States.